Today on Real Life Radio.
That's the subtlety of Satan's antics. I would never worship Tammuz. I understand that. But Tammuz is also represented as a child being held by the mother. Well, you see, that could be any mother. The only problem is 5,000 years ago, she was called the Queen of Heaven. And Jeremiah says you can't worship the Queen of Heaven. To worship God alone.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2, continues in his series called The Book of Revelation. We now come to chapters 17 and 18, where the past and the future come together. You see, Babylon, a place described in the book of Genesis, is where man's first attempt to overthrow God actually began, and that attempt increases dramatically during the Great Tribulation. You see, cultic beliefs and pagan practices can be traced back to ancient Babylon. Man-made religious systems really are nothing new. Jesus, in one of his most graphic teachings, warned us that there will be imposters of the truth that will envelop the world, and their teachings will be accepted as a future global religion. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that an ungodly religious system will spread worldwide during the Great Tribulation, a corruption of the truth that's referred to as the revived Roman Empire, a government once powerful, then extinct, and finally restored in the end times. Now in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. It continues on, later years, via the prophet Ezekiel in your Bible. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, Ezekiel, or son of man, you have seen what the elders, or have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the dark? Each at the shrine of his own idol. Boy, I encourage you, research that. You will be shocked as to how that has crept into our modern day worship. They say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Again, he said in verse 13 in Ezekiel 8, you will see them doing things that are even more detestable. Verse 14, then God brought me into the entrance of the north gate to the house of the Lord, that is the temple in Jerusalem, and I saw the women sitting there mourning for who? Tammuz. Who is Tammuz? Remember that Tammuz, the son of Semiramis, died, and she began weeping and mourning and praying. Does anybody remember for how long? 40 days. She wept for 40 days. And when at the incredible pleading of her intercession, the gods of the underworld released Tammuz from his purgatory, it was referred to and said back then. You say, wait a minute, isn't that a belief of a certain group of Christians or the Catholic Church? Listen, no. Well, yes, but no. Yes, but purgatory predates the Catholic Church by thousands of years. Don't think it's a Catholic doctrine only. I'm not picking on any Catholics. I'm picking on Babylonian worship. It goes back 5,000 years ago. She prays Tammuz out of purgatory, and when he is resurrected, he comes to life, and the people then declare in Babylonia the end of Lent, they called it, L-E-N-T. Can you believe this? Well, wait a minute. No, it goes back nearly 5,000 years ago. Look it up. At the end of Lent, they begin to go crazy, celebrating and going through this stuff. And I can't get into some of the details of the worship because they're so happy to have Tammuz back. But don't even use your imagination. Go study. It's too nasty to talk about this morning. They broke into orgies. I'll say that at least. What gets sicker as Semiramis lives and Tammuz lives and Nimrod lives, Nimrod dies. His body is cut up and distributed to 10 realms of his kingdom. Semiramis declares, I want his body back. His body is mailed back to her, carried, couriered back to her, and most, not all, of his body parts are assembled. Not all of it. To get all of it, Semiramis has sex with her son, who is now resurrected from the dead, Tammuz, and produces an offspring, so that through this person, through this offspring, Nimrod may continue to live. And a freakish, twisted manufacturing of reincarnation and resurrection, all bound up together in pagan worship. You say, this is nuts. Oh, listen, this story appears in every ancient culture with different names, different things like that, different worship styles to some degree, but every one of them, ladies and gentlemen, please don't get up and run out of here. I am not attacking you. I plead with you to hear me out. You can see unearthed idols dating back to 4,200 years ago of Semiramis. Are you listening, church? Semiramis is standing, holding her child, and above her head is a crown, and she is declared to be the Queen of Heaven. You would say, Jack, I hear of the Queen of Heaven today. I understand that, but you may be ignorantly be connecting, for example, Mary and Jesus as the Queen of Heaven and child. I just want you to know that statue, that icon, that image that you can buy or have, like my mother owned all her life. To you, you might say, well, it's Mary and Jesus. You know, you've been told that. That exact image has been archaeologically uncovered in ancient Babylonia. And it is the worship of what's called the Holy Mother of Heaven and Child, Semiramis and Tammuz, predating what you have been told. Research this and see. I encourage you not to believe a word I'm telling you right now. We're going to run through some slides that we missed last week together. It's very important. At the time of Jesus Christ, by the way, and during the apostles, the headquarters of the Babylonian cult was in the area of Pergamos and Pergamum. And you can see right here, those of you, can you see? This is the museum. I took this photo personally so you could believe it. And by the way, as you can tell, I take crummy pictures. Do you see this word Pergamum? And museum. This is in Berlin. And why do I bring it up? Because ancient Babylonian worship was next. Just keep going. Next slides. Don't go back to me. In this area, the worship and the dedication of Zeus and the ancient gods came from this region of ancient Babylonia. There is today Mosul, or in ancient time known as Nineveh. There's Nimrud, named after Nimrod. This is the Tigris and Euphrates River Valley. Of course, the focus of today's war and liberation of Iraq. Interesting that it's in history and in current times today. Next slide. This is the birthplace of the ancient worship of the various gods, stemming all the way to Tammuz. Again, this is a structure I took from the floor looking up. This alone, this image of the ancient temple of Zeus, found in Pergamum, Turkey, brought to Berlin by the Germans when they conquered that region. Just this image here is 15 feet tall. This is the temple of Zeus, known in the times of Jesus and the apostles and the Jews as the temple or the seat of Satan. Next slide. This is a model reenactment that is in front of the real deal. This is fun. Allow me to get down here. You see these steps? You can scale these steps in real life. This is just the model. Don't move. Do you see this right here? That's the real thing. The reason why I caught this picture is because the real thing here, this protrudes out, it's right here in a model scale. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the largest. In fact, this is the Temple of Zeus. The Turkish government's trying to get it back from Germany right now, and it's not going back to Turkey. The Germans have made it clear. This is absolutely the seat of Satan referenced in the scripture. What scripture? The Bible tells us in, as we shall see in a moment, in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus says, I know where you live, where Satan's seat is, to the church of Pergamum. Revelation chapter 2. Again, this is part of it. And again, all of this that you see is assembled in reality. This image here is only about 2 feet tall. Outside, do you see where my pointer is here? Can you guys see in the way in the back? Way in the back, that is the real McCoy back there. Is there another slide? Again, yeah, that's the real thing. This is the structure. These men are working on this scaffolding. Next slide, if there's another. Oh, this is fantastic. Do you recognize him? Anybody want to call out his name? Come on, don't be shy. He's got a goat head. I mean, he's man's head, goat horns, male's body with goat feet. He's carrying a horn. Anybody remember cartoons, by the way, of Hercules? And remember his little buddy that was with him, that stuff, that weird... Yeah. By the way, how many of you have been to Caesarea Philippi with us in the area of Dan? Remember Caesarea Philippi? Do you remember what the name of the temple was there? The Temple of Pan. Remember that? The Temple of Pan worship. And when they worshiped Pan, it was so insane and violent that it was called panic, out of control worship in honor of Pan. Guess who Pan is? He goes by another name. In ancient cultures, Bacchus. Look it up, jot it down. B-A-C-C-H-U-S, Bacchus. Type in Bacchus or look Bacchus up in your books of antiquity. You will come to a guy who's this image right here, who's known in other cultures as Tammuz. His name changes, the worship of him doesn't. Well, but Pastor, I've got this image or this idol, and it's not what you say. It's different to me. That's the subtlety of Satan's antics. Get it just twisted a moment. Get you in just a bit. Lo, you see what he does. I would never worship Tammuz. I understand that. But Tammuz is also represented as a child being held by the mother. Well, you see, that could be any mother. The only problem is 5,000 years ago, she was called the Queen of Heaven. And Jeremiah says, you can't worship the Queen of Heaven. You need to worship God alone. Remember now, the ancient Babylonian cult, it was founded by Nimrod, wife Semiramis and Tammuz. I gave you these names last week. Some of you didn't believe me. I'm going to say it again. Semiramis and Tammuz, according to the abominations, look in verse 5. Verse 5 of chapter 17, Babylon the Great. She is the mother. She is the origin, the source, the birther of harlots and the abominations of the earth. What are those things? Here are these things again. Semiramis and Tammuz were worshipped in the Assyrian Empire. Some of you looked up Syria in Lebanon and said, I didn't see the connection. I said Assyria with an A, not Syria with an S. Assyria, the Assyrian Empire. Her name was Ishtar. Today we say Ishtar. Ishtar and Tammuz, the Queen of Heaven and her resurrected son. Semiramis and Tammuz were worshipped in the Phoenician Empire by Astarte and her son Baal. B-A-A-L. You've heard that name before, have you? That name is Tammuz. Semiramis and Tammuz were worshipped in the Egyptian empires by Isis and Horus. Spelled this way, H-O-R-U-S. Not Horus, but Horus. H-O-R-U-S. Her name in the Egyptian culture was I-S-I-S. Semiramis and Tammuz in the Greek Empire went by Aphrodite and, you remember, Eros. Eros, where we get erotic. Tammuz and Semiramis were worshipped in the Roman Empire by these names. Venus and Cupid. Am I boring you guys? Because you got this last week. I'm so sorry. The King James Version of the Bible. The King James Version of the Bible, if you study, you will find Semiramis and Tammuz mentioned in a very interesting term in the King James Version Bible. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. You might want to jot it down. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. And when Herod had apprehended Peter, he had put him in prison and delivered him to the four quarterons of soldiers, that's the Roman guards, to keep him. What does it say in the old King James Version? Intending after Ishtar to bring him forth to the people. Easter is in your old King James Bible. Well, I thought it was a pagan celebration. It is. Pagan to the Roman Empire. Read your Bible carefully. The Bible announces that after this celebration, which is in springtime, by the way, after the celebration, they were going to celebrate Easter, not the Christian church, my friend, but pagan Rome. Are you with me? Everybody listening? You're so quiet. I hope you're getting this. I know you. If you didn't get history, you hate what I'm saying right now. But after this celebration, this pagan celebration of Lent during the Roman time also, and now Lent having been concluded, the celebration of the resurrection of Tammuz, Ishtar, Easter, they were then going to bring out Peter and kill him in celebration. Amazing. Her cult, by the way, went westward from Babylon, the Babylonian cult, and the method of her priesthood began to be a priesthood of such absolute overriding authority, the Babylonian cult, that, listen, its Congress were a group of elders, a large group of elders, and they had to wear certain clothing. I'm going to leave that up to you to find out what kind of clothing they wore. And the priest, the high priest of Semiramis, was called the chief or the high priest of heaven, known in ancient times before the Catholic Church. He was called Pontifex Maximus. Remember that last time? He was the chief of high priest or of heaven in the spirit of Semiramis. She declared him to be this great and lofty one. Now listen, again, predating our worship age and time of the last 2,000 years. This is hard. This is awesome. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 15, when Jesus says to the church at Pergamos, write these things, in Revelation 2, 15, Jesus goes on to say, remember, I know where you live. It's where Satan's seat is. You saw that a moment ago. He goes on to say, thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Which thing I hate. Are you ready for this? The Nicolaitans was a cult Babylonian group that was practiced from ancient Babylonian times, and they invented a rite nearly 4,000 years ago, and that rite was successional hierarchy. Nico means lords or disciples of Nico, Nick, Nicholas, yes, who represented this cult. Nicolaitans. Can anybody guess what the word laitans might mean? The people. Jesus said, there's two things that you are fighting over and fighting with in the church of Pergamos. And I really have appreciation for you, Jesus would say. I really want to encourage you. You live where Satan's seat is. That's Pergamos, the temple of Zeus, rooted in ancient Babylonianism. And number two, that priesthood that's there that is so powerful, lords over the people, that's tough. I hate it. Nicolaitans. Jesus says, I hate those who govern over the lives of my people. If there was ever a priesthood, it's to point people to Jesus Christ, not to a priesthood. If I ever get you to somehow look to me as the answer, I have failed and misrepresented Christ. Didn't Moses come out and say, must I bring water from this rock again? Moses, who? He misrepresented God. God was so good, water came out, and then God said, Moses, will you come over here for a minute? And took him to the woodshed. A true minister of God will point you to Christ. Listen. That's why the Bible says there's one mediator between mankind and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. You see, Pastor, I was never told this. I know. You see, the Babylonian worship system calls her here a whore, a harlot, for three main reasons. She's easily accessible. All roads lead to her. She's deceptive. She takes on the form of the culture where she goes rather than Christianity converting the culture to Christ. She's dangerous. She's after the souls of men. Before we get any further in this study, we're okay. We're fine. I'm going to ask you guys to take a look at something. Remember what the Bible says here. Chapter 17, she rides upon a beast. This goes back in antiquity in a very, very powerful way. She's riding upon a beast. I want you to look carefully at this. Some of you have seen this before. Look carefully. Do you see this? That's my hand shaking. That's water. I didn't say so. This is my coin I got. The inscription on the paperwork that came with it. It is certifiable. It is authentic. It is an actual euro, which is worth about $6 U.S. Here you see a 5 euro ECU. This is water. This is a very bizarre looking beast. It kind of looks, starts out like a horse in the back end. Massive neck and head. Humongous mane and neck. Multiple horns on the head. You say, well, so what? Well, hang on. This is a woman who every European knows. I see that Bettina's here. I wonder if she would know who this is. And she's got flowing robes. It's not until you read the paperwork that came with this, because I, being an American, not familiar with European history or Greek mythology, not much anyway. The back of this data announces that the water is the sea of humanity. I'm not making this up. This is the definition of Greek mythology and the European Union. The beast is Zeus. The woman, Europa. Zeus has captured Europa, and he has taken her on a circuit around the world to conquer the world. Thus, Europe has adopted this image, Europa, upon Zeus to take over the world, the stars of the European Union. This is 1996. This is from Belgium, if I remember right. Next slide. This is a slide I just got in November. Or not a slide, a coin. Just this November. This is a 2 euro worth a little bit more than 2 US dollars today at this hour. Do you see this beast again? You see the woman riding on it? You know who this beast is by now? You should know. Church, it is who? Zeus. You can ask any European. They'll tell you, well, that's Zeus. See the woman? Draped in robes. She's got glory around her head. Who's right there? That's who the Romans called who? Cupid. What's his name in Babylonianism? Tammuz. Who's sitting on here? Semiramis. She rides the beast. She is Babylonianism.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey guys, Pastor Jack here, and I am so excited to tell you about a book that, frankly, honestly, I have now gone through twice in my private reading. So please mark it down. It's 100 Bible Verses That Made America. It's authored by Robert Morgan, and it's an incredible book. It covers the defining moments that shaped America and its founding through Scripture. And what's great about this book is that it not only, of course, includes 100 Bible verses, but it's not like the guy made them up. They apply to the moment. And in fact, in some of the situations, it's coming right out of the founding fathers' mouth themselves. Get your copy, please. 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan, and you will not be disappointed.
That's 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan. Available for your gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.